Hey, Bar Brawlers, this is Daniel. Just wanted to thank everyone who has donated to the Bar Brawl Indiegogo campaign to produce the journal, which we have decided to call Zounds!
Zounds.
Zounds. Can I call it Zounds?
If you want to.
Anyway, all of you who've contributed to Zounds or Zounds, or both.
Or both.
We thank you. There's still a couple weeks, or a couple days left. And... Yeah. Go to Indiegogo.com, search the Bard Brawl, donate. If you don't have any money, that's okay. Tell your friends. Now here's the Bard Brawl.
From Montreal, Quebec, this is the Bard Brawl.
So we're just at a party.
I'm at a party.
I'll just put my drink down and welcome Bard Brawlers to the Bard Brawl after party. My name is Daniel J. Rowe. I am the co-captain of the Bard Brawl after party and the Bard Brawl regular party, as well as bardbrawl.com, which is also a party online. For all of you who only have parties online, you know who you are. I'm joined tonight, as always, as every Bar Brawl, by my good friend, colleague, and the other half of the Aborcalypse. Look on my sports podcast, you'll have to figure it out for yourself. Eric H. John.
H? What's the H for?
Hosanna, Hosanna. Have you watched Jesus Christ Superstar?
I think I might. I've seen that a long time ago.
Sorry. But I don't know where that
I thought it was H for Habs.
H for Habs. Yes. That's even better than Hosanna. I don't know why.
Christmas.
It's Christmas.
That's Easter song, but whatever.
That is Stephanie E.M. Coleman joining us in this Noël, season de Noël.
Holiday.
And Mr. Nick McMahon.
Clearing
his throat. How does it feel to be the only one with the prefix Mr.? Out of all of the Bard Brawlers, we decided that you deserved Mr.
It is an honor. I would have appreciated it if you'd acknowledged the MD also next to my...
Yes. Oh, that's true. I did not acknowledge that.
Because
you don't have one. That might be why I didn't acknowledge it.
Possible. But,
and Mr. Nick, who
I took an online degree in geriatric oncology.
Mr. Nick, who didn't even tell his girlfriend that he is now on the World Wide Web, on iTunes.
Yes.
What's that about?
Some things are better left to the imagination, Daniel.
Ah, yes. Whatever that means. This is the Bard Brawl, brought to you by bardbrawl.com, Bard Brawl t-shirts and designs, Bard Brawl Journal Volume 1, Zounds, and Bard Brawl Plantations. Coming soon. Eric Jean, we are in the Bard Brawl. We are going pound for pound with Shakespeare, much like George Perros and his mustache.
Mm.
Go pound. I don't know how that one really worked.
It's okay.
He fights, but I'd rather him just fight the inner demons that create his mustache. Mm. That's what... It's really meta. You have to think about it for a while.
Mm. Rochelle doesn't like his mustache.
Who does... Oh, it's a lovely mustache. We're talking time. We're
also going pound for pound with Bard Brawl Taibo, aren't we?
Yeah.
At the Regional Shakespeare Fitness Center.
Yes, yes. The Bard Brawl Laval.
Yes.
Yeah, we're fighting straight up.
Bard Brawl obesity Laval. 1 pound at a time.
1 pound at a time. Anyway, back to Athens.
Mm.
Athens.
Tymon of Athens. We have seen Tymon as Lord. We have seen Tymon as animal. Can we call him beast animal?
Like what beast is... man. He's like a wild man. He renounces the trappings of civilization, renounces money, and basically goes off to live in a cave on the edge of a forest by the ocean.
And subsist on unicorn meat.
And roots.
Roots. Also no, he's roots. Not eating meats. He's just eating roots.
Yeah, he's just foraging for
food. They just talk about unicorn. You got excited about the
unicorn. I think awesome. I may have just invented that.
Go to barbrawl.com and listen to Act 4 where you will hear Stephanie get excited about unicorn and giraffe meat.
Yes. Mm.
I believe that was the gist of last last time's podcast.
So self-imposed exile. Yeah.
Self-imposed exile. Eric, what has been... This play is a very simple plotted play, as opposed to something like Pericles or even Lear that we saw. What is interesting? Why should anybody watch or read or both this play?
Wow. This play is really... The fact that it's very simple is why it's also very interesting, because it doesn't actually... You know, some Shakespeare plays need to be explained, recontextualized. None of this is... like required for this play. It makes immediate sense. You have a guy who's fairly wealthy, who has a lot of friends who are actually just hanging on to his wealth, and he's blind to it, even though he has servants or people in his environment who are telling him that, you know, they're just here for your money. When your money runs out, they'll bail. So there's a...
Flavius.
Flavius is the guy who actually, you know, sort of tries to stay loyal. And even at the end of Act 4, he sort of banishes him and says, like, don't come back. Just go away. You're the one good human being left. And go away. And then with that, there's the Alcibiades subplot, which actually only really starts in Act 3 when you really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also about, I've done all this service for my fellow man by being a soldier in Athens's name. And now that I need my city to sort of stand up for me, to stand up for the excesses of the law, it's refusing to do that. So it's kind of a similar thing where the people that Timon has sustained for many years are not there when he needs them most. And the city that Alcibiades has defended for his entire life is not there to defend him, or I guess his soldier, when it's required. So the only difference is Alcibiades actually gets banished. As opposed to Timon, who just leaves.
What also this play doesn't give you a villain, which is...
Not really. Yeah.
There's the... Every tragedy has somebody that's trying to destroy the hero, whereas...
Well, Apomantis is pseudo-villain, isn't he?
Well, Apomantis is sort of... He's a mocker, but he's more like a fool than a villain, as we talked about in Act 3, when the fool actually arrived.
Or they left together.
We talked about that. Yeah. Act 3, barbell.com. But there's no villain in this. So you actors out there, if you ever wanted to produce a soliloquy, I recommend looking at this play, because especially 3 and 4 have some of the really fantastic speeches in Shakespeare. Mm. Like, you really see a character grappling with just himself. Yeah. The lords are all very faceless. The servants, aside from Flavius, are all more or less
Interchangeable.
And you have this lord and this general, to a certain extent, that are just exploring the world as is around them. And it's very easy to compare to a modern context. Yeah. Like we talked about Entourage, the TV show. And I think Nick mentioned an episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Mm-hmm. Also very appropriate. But the sycophantic world is very faceless because they don't care. And well, really the speeches, which speeches podcast coming up.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tricky one to choose some of them, because everyone, when you read most of them because you've been playing time and have been really good. So we will start. Anyone?
More on this anon.
Mm.
Or on, sorry?
More on this anon.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to Lee McRae and Stephanie E. McColeman for the graphics for Time Out of Athens. I did a photograph.
I like the photograph.
Mm-hmm. And thanks for the synopsis there, Eric.
Mm-hmm. Anytime.
Thank you, Waco.
That's what I'm here for.
For the cuddles. Mm-hmm. So we are in the woods. Like Eric said, he has been banished. Well, he's banished himself from Athens after throwing water and rocks at a bunch of lords. Alcibiades also banished. But so we are in the forest. And now we are coming back to the beginning of the play, where a poet, a painter, and
a merchant
and a jeweler were all talking about how great Tywin was. It was Act 1, Scene mm-hmm. 1. And I believe, actually, my mom was one of those.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Maybe my dad was one, too.
Is that right?
Act 1, yeah. You should listen to it. So we're back in the woods, and they are back. I was the poet originally. Stephanie was the painter. And Eric is Tywin. That would make Flavius would be Mr. Nick.
Sounds good.
And then the senators, if they say anything, will be jumped on by whoever. So we're in the woods before Tywin's cave. Enter poet and painter, Tywin watching them from his cave.
As I took note of the place, it cannot be far from where he abides.
What's to be thought of him? Does the rumor hold for true that he's so full of gold?
Certain. Alcibiades reports it. Phrynia and Timandra had gold of him. He likewise enriched poor straggling soldiers with great quantity. 'Tis said he gave unto his steward a mighty sum.
Pause. If you're wondering, when Tywin started digging in the ground, he found a bunch of gold.
Yeah.
A very convenient plot.
Fortuitous.
Yeah. Then the breaking of this has been but a try for his friends.
Nothing else. You shall see him a palm in Athens again, and flourish with the highest. Therefore, 'tis not amiss we tender our loves to him in this supposed distress of his. It will show honesty in us, and is very likely to load our purposes with what they travail for, if it be a just and true report that goes of his having.
What have you now to present unto him?
Nothing at this time but my visitation, only I will promise him an excellent peace.
Oh, thanks, artist, for coming around. I must serve him so too. Tell him of an intent that's coming towards him.
Good is the best. Promising is the very air of the time. It opens the eyes of expectation.
Oh, that's so stupid. Thank you, painter and poet.
Yeah.
Everybody loves
it. Tell him an intent that's coming. It'll happen. I swear. Performance is ever the duller for his act, but in the plainer and simpler kind of people, the deed of saying is quite out of use. To promise is most courtly and fashionable. Performance is a kind of will or testament which argues a great sickness in his judgment that makes it. So it's like conceptual art.
Yes, okay. Yes. Everybody loves getting that as
Shakespeare
a gift.
Shakespeare invented it first.
Those people Christmas shopping, conceptual art.
Yeah, get
your
it.
Your kids will love it. Enter Tywin from his cave, aside.
Excellent workman, thou canst not paint a man so bad as in thyself.
I'm thinking what I shall say I have provided for him. It must be a personating of himself, a satire against the softness of prosperity, with a discovery of the infinite flatteries that follow youth and opulency. Aside.
Must thou needs stand for a villain in thine own work? Wouldst thou whip thine own faults in other men? Do so. I have gold for thee.
Nay, let's seek him. Then we do sin against our own estate, when we may profit meet and come too late.
True. When the day serves, before black-cornered night, find what thou wanst by free and offered light.
Come. Tywin aside.
I'll meet you at the turns. What a god's gold that he is worshipped in a baser temple than where swine feed. 'Tis thou that rick'st the bark and plough'st the foam, settled admired reverence in a slave. To thee be worship, and thy saints for aye be crowned with plagues that thee alone obey. First, fit, I meet them.
Coming forward. Hail, worthy Tywin!
Our late noble master.
Have I once lived to see two honest men?
Sir, having often of your open bounty tasted, hearing you were retired, your friends fallen off, whose thankless natures, oh, abhorred spirits, not all the whips of heaven are large enough. What to you, whose star-like nobleness gave life and influence to their whole being? I am wrapped and cannot cover the monstrous bulk of this ingratitude with any size of words.
Let it go naked. Men mayest seest the better. You that are honest, by being what you are, make them best seen and known.
He and myself have travelled in the great shower of your gifts, and sweetly felt it.
Ah, you are an honest man.
We are hither come to offer you our service.
Most honest men, why, how shall I requite you? Can you eat roots and drink cold water? No?
What we can do, we'll do.
To do you service.
To you.
You're honest men. You have heard that I have gold. I am sure you have. Speak truthful. Ye are honest men.
So it is said, my noble lord, but therefore came not my friend nor I.
Good, honest men. Thou drawest a counterfeit best in all Athens. Thou art indeed the best. Thou counterfeitest most lively.
So, my lord.
And Brutus is an honest man.
Honorable man.
But
close. It works. Even so, sir, as I say, and for thy fiction, why, thy verse swells with stuff so fine and smooth that thou art even natural in thine art. But for all this, my honest-natured friends, I must needs say you have a little fault. Mary, 'tis not monstrous in you, neither wish I you take much pains to mend.
Beseech your honor. To make it known to us.
You'll take it ill.
Most thankfully, my lord.
Thanks.
Will you indeed?
No, of course, worthy lord.
There's totally. Never a one of you but trusts a knave that mightily deceives you.
Do we?
What?
My lord?
Do we?
Aye, and you bear him cog, see him dissemble, know his gross patchery, love him, feed him, keep in your bosom, yet remain assured that he's a made-up villain.
I don't know such people, my lord.
Nor I.
Look you, I love you well. I'll give you gold. Rid me these villains from your companies. Hang them or stab them. Drown them in a drought. Confound them by some course and come to me. I'll give you gold enough.
Tell me. Name them.
Who?
I'll do it.
Me too.
You that way and you this, but two in company. Each man apart, all single and alone, yet an arch-villain keeps him company.
2-1.
If where thou art, two villains shall not be, come not near him.
To the other.
If thou wouldst not reside but where one villain is, then him abandon. Hence, pack, there's gold. You came for gold, you slaves.
2-1.
You have work for me. There's payment hence.
To the other.
You are an alchemist. Make gold of that out. Rascal dogs!
Exit both, driven out by Timon, who retires to his cave. Enter Steward Flavius and two senators.
It is in vain that you would speak with Timon, for he is said so only to himself that nothing but himself which looks like man is friendly with him.
Bring us to his cave. It is our part and promise to the Athenians to speak with Timon.
At all times alike, men are not still the same. 'Twas time and griefs that framed him thus. Time with his fairer hand, offering the fortunes of his former days. The former man may make him bring us to him, and change it as it may.
Are you an ent?
Here is his cave. Peace and content be here. Lord Timon, look out and speak to friends. The Athenians, by two of their most reverend senate, greet thee. Speak to them, noble Timon.
Enter Timon out of his cave. Almost.
Good one.
Almost.
Good catch. Now, son that comforts, burn. Speak and be hanged, for each true word a blister, and each false be as a cantharizing to the root of the tongue, consuming it with speaking.
Worthy Timon.
Of none but such as you, and you of Timon.
Greet the senators of Athens, greet thee, Timon.
I thank them, and would send them back the plague, could I but catch it for them.
Oh, forget what we are sorry for ourselves and thee. The senators, with one consent of love, entreat thee back to Athens. Who have thought on special dignities which vacant lie for thy best use and wearing.
They confess toward thee forgetfulness too general, gross, which now the public body, which doth seldom play the recanter, feeling in itself a lack of Timon's aid, hath sense withal of its own fail, restraining aid to Timon, and send forth us to make their sword render. Together with a recompense more fruitful than their offense, can weigh down by the dram. Aye, even such heaps and sums of love and wealth as shall to thee blot out what's wrongs were theirs, and write in thee the figures of their love, ever to read them thine.
You witch me in it, surprise me to the very brink of tears.
Lend me a fool's heart and a woman's eye, and I'll beweep these comforts, worthy senators.
Therefore, so please thee to return with us, and of our Athens, thine and ours, to take the captainship. Thou shalt be met with thanks, allowed with absolute power, and thy good name live with authority. So soon we shall drive back of Alcibiades the approaches wild, who, like a boar too savage, doth root up his country's peace.
And shakes his threatening sword against the walls of Athens.
Therefore, Timon...
Therefore, I will, sir, thus. If Alcibiades kill my countrymen, let Alcibiades know this of Timon, that Timon cares not. But if he sack fair Athens and take our goodly aged men by the beard, giving our holy virgins to the stain of contumelious, beastly, mad-brayed war, then let him know, and tell him Timon speaks it. In pity of our age and our youth, I cannot choose but tell him that I care not. And let them take it at the worst, for their knives care not, while you have throats to answer. Oh, that's good line.
Awesome line.
Wow. For myself, there's not a whittle in the unruly camp, but I do prize it as my love before the reverender's throat in Athens. So I leave you to the protection of the prosperous gods, as thieves to keepers.
Stay not. All's in vain.
Why, I was writing of my epitaph. It will be seen tomorrow. My long sickness of health and living now begins to mend, and nothing brings me all things. Go live still. Be Alcibiades your plague, you his, and last so long enough.
We speak in vain.
But yet I love my country, and I'm not one that rejoices in the common rack, as common brute does put it.
That's well spoke.
Commend me to my loving countrymen.
These words become your lips. I'm getting too choked up. These words become your lips as they pass through them.
And enter in our ears like great triumphers in their applauding gates.
Commend me to them and tell them that to ease them of their griefs, their fears of hostile strokes, their aches, losses, their pangs of love, with other incident throes that nature's fragile vessel doth sustain in life's uncertain voyage, I will some kindness to them. I'll teach them to prevent wild Alcibiades' wrath.
I like this well. He will return again.
I have a tree which grows here in my close that mine own use invites me to cut down, and shortly must I fell it. Tell my friends, tell Athens in the sequence of degrees from high to low throughout, that whoso pleased to stop affliction, let him take his haste, come hither ere my tree has felt the axe, and hang himself. I pray you, do my greeting.
Trouble him no further. Thus you still shall find him.
Come not to me again, but say to Athens, Timon hath made his everlasting mansion upon the beached verge of the salt flood, who once a day with his embossed froth the turbulent surge shall cover. Thither come, and let my gravestone be your oracle. Lips, let four words go by, and language end. What is amiss, plague and infection, men? Graves only be men's works, and death their gains. Sun, hide thy beams. Timon hath done his reign.
Exit Timon, he discontents, are unremovably coupled to nature. His discontents should be.
Our hope in him is dead. Let us return and strain what other means is left unto us in our dear peril.
It requires swift foot.
Excellent.
Oh,
I'm Batman.
Okay, we have some senators before the walls of Athens. Enter two senators.
Senator two again.
With a messenger. We have been...
Tap closed.
The other senators,
mm-hmm.
We will need to give Eric and Stephanie a chance.
Are these not the same senators?
Senators three and four.
I just have the same first one and two.
Okay. Well, so I have two other senators.
It's all right, so. Nick. You can be a messenger.
Fine.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Fine. Got angry.
All right, you will be...
You'll be three. Okay. Stephanie will be four. One thing I wanted to say, that linking nature to character, that was kind of the last, like, oh, he's gone wild. I can say he's left the city, he's gone wild. Once you leave the city, you go wild, apparently.
That's a long medieval precedent. Yeah. That was the idea.
Go woad, right? Is
it? Yeah.
But I love a woad
in this wood.
I love this play for that reason. Is it? How they,
yeah, it's from Midsummer Night's Dream. Sorry.
I love how they pull him from Cloud City, Lando Calrissian, to like bottom of the Rancor pit with Boba Fett, who gets taken by the Rancor.
Well, Nick was just saying that, you know, like that when you, it actually was sort of believed that once you left the city behind, you sort of went wild. You stopped being, existing as a human being. You were just an animal. And that's kind of it's in A Midsummer Night's Dream, actually, to go woad in this wood. I'm going to go crazy in this and sort of lose my humanity in this thing. Anyways.
Don't worry, listeners. We're going back to Athens.
Oh, and that ancient story of... No, I'll have to look that up. Sorry.
Stephanie will look it up.
I'll look it up. I thought I had the word. It's a really ancient story.
Zunes!
Unicorn meat?
Unicorn meat! Unicorns.
So we have messenger, two senators and a messenger, blah, blah, blah. Before the walls of Athens, enter two other senators with a messenger. Other senators. That's you and Stephanie.
Thou hast painfully discovered. Are his files as full as thy report?
I spoke the least. Besides... His expedition promises present approach.
We stand much hazard if they bring not Timon.
I met a courier, one mine ancient friend, whom, though in general part we were opposed, yet our old love made a particular force, really, made us speak like friends. This man was riding from Alcibiades to to Timon's cave, with letters and treaty, which was like imported his fellowship and the cause. Against your city, in part, for his sake moved.
I wasn't in the stage direction. Continue. Enter the other senators.
Here comes our brothers.
No talk of time and nothing of him expect. The enemy's drum is heard, and the fearful scouring doth choke the air with dust. In and prepare. Ours is the fall I fear. Our foes the snare.
The woods, a rude tome near tomb. Jeez, it sounds so much worse when you mess up the word.
Tom O'Bedlin.
We have one soldier who will be played by Nick. He's going the character gauntlet today. We are putting him through the gauntlet. He's been senator, messenger, and now he will be soldier. A rude tomb near Timon's cave. Enter a soldier in the woods, seeking Timon. A rude tomb scene.
By all description, this should be the place. Who's here? Speak. Oh. No, answer. What is this?
Reads.
Timon is dead. Who hath outstretched his span? Some beast reared this. There does not live a man. Dead, sure, and this his grave. What's on this tomb? I cannot read. The character I'll take with wax. Our captain hath in every figure skill. An aged interpreter, though young in days, before proud Athens, he set down by this. Whose fall the mark of his ambition is?
Exit. Thank you, soldier. Now we move on to scene four. The last scene. We have Alcibiades, who was Stephanie E.M. Coleman. Also was Nick at one point. Guys want to fight your... Fight?
You
fight?
Take.
Okay.
Sure?
Yeah, well, you're good to be senator, too.
I'll be senator,
too. We've got senators, soldiers. You're good. You'll find someone to read. Don't worry.
Pretty much... I'll be stage directions and whatever else pops up.
That is going to be the weirdest... I just want to say that's the weirdest death of a tragedy figure that in all of Shakespeare by far.
I hate you guys. I'm going to go back in my cave now. Next scene.
Next scene. Dead.
He's dead.
Yeah, like it's...
But it's one of the... Actually, let's think about this. Is it the only tragedy
How did we're the get main buried?
Tragic character. That's a good question. Probably Flavor Flav. Flavius probably takes care of it. But he's one of the
rude players. Rude, doesn't really end. So he might have just been like under a bunch like
a bunch of rocks, or
whatever. Yeah. Like he might have buried himself. Like that.
Like buried himself alive.
Yeah. Kind of, well,
like
set that's... up
a contraption to dump all the earth.
Well, no, like he could have. He was in a hole already because he had dug himself a hole. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
But it's the only time I can remember any tragedy where the character, lead tragedy character, dies off stage with no speech.
Mm. Yeah.
And a soldier comes upon the note, and it's a.
Yeah.
This is a.
One it's the only one I can think of too, where the character doesn't like the play doesn't basically end with the death of the character.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Except for Julius Caesar, but that's because it actually. Like,
is about another character.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
but we're back with Alcibiades, who, by the way, is a source text in Plutarch. We've talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
Read
Parallel
Plutarch.
Lives. Yeah.
Parallel Lives.
Matched with Coriolanus, right?
Right. Read them both. Both very good. Act 5, Scene 4. We are before the walls of Athens. Alcibiades, Stephanie, senators, Eric, Nick and I, and soldier.
Me.
Trumpet sound. Enter Alcibiades with his powers before Athens.
Whoa. Sound to this coward in lascivious town our terrible approach.
Sounds of parley. The senators appear upon the walls.
Till now you have gone on and filled the time with all licentious measure, making your wills the scope of justice. Till now, myself and such as stepped within the shadow of your power have wandered with our traversed arms and breathed our sufferance vainly. Now the time is flush, when crouching marrow in the bearer strong cries of itself, no more! Now breathless wrong shall sit and pant in your great chairs of ease, and pursy insolence shall break his wind with fear and horrid flight.
Noble and young, when thy first griefs were but a mere conceit, ere thou hadst power, or we had cause of fear, we sent to thee to give thy rages balm, to wipe out our ingratitude with loves above their quality.
By the way, in the Plutarch, that's one of the things about Alcibiades, he's really... kind of hot-headed and choleric, excited. Yeah. And then they sort of encourage that so he can go fight people. But now he's...
And now they need him to, like...
I read it.
Take
read
a time it. Out.
Okay.
Go on. It's a good read.
Yeah, good. It's a good read.
Good, you read it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Second senator.
So did we woo, transformed Timon, to our city's love. By humble message and by promised means... We were not all unkind, nor all deserve the common stroke of war.
These walls of ours were not erected by the hands from whom you have received your grief, nor are they such for these great towers. Trophies and schools should fall for private faults in them.
Nor are they living. Who were the motives that you first went out? Shame that they wanted cunning in excess hath broke their hearts. March, noble lord, into our city with thy banners spread by decimation and a tithe death, if thy revenges hunger for that food which nature loathes. Take thou the destined tenth, and by the hazard of the spotted die, let die the spotted.
All have not offended, for those that were, it is not square to take of those that are. Revenge, crimes, like lands, are not inherited. Then, dear countrymen, bring in thy ranks, but leave without thy rage. Spare thy Athenian cradle and those kin which in the bluster of thy wrath must fall. With those that have offended, like a shepherd, approach the fold and call the infected forth, but kill not altogether.
What thou wilt. Thou rather shall enforce it with thy smile than hew to it with thy sword.
Set but thy foot against our rampired gates, and they shall ope. So thou wilt send thy gentle heart before to say thou'lt enter friendly.
Throw thy glove, or any token of thine honor else, that thou wilt use the wars as thy redress, and not as our confusion. All thy powers shall make their harbor in our town, till we have sealed thy full desire.
Oh, that's me. Oops, I'm sorry.
You're being confronted by two senators. Stay in character, Stephanie.
Then there's my glove. Descend and open your uncharted ports. Those enemies of Timon's and mine own, whom you yourselves have set out for reproof, fall and no more. And, to atone your fears with my more noble meaning, not a man shall pass his quarter, or offend the stream of regular justice in your city's bounds, but shall be rendered to your public laws at heaviest answer.
Tis most nobly spoken!
That was the poet and the painter.
Descend, and keep your words.
The senators descend. Words. Okay, it's okay. The senators descend and open the gates. Enter, soldier Eric.
Yes.
And a messenger. Oh, actually, you're the soldier and the messenger. Eric, you can be the soldier.
Okay. A soldier?
Yeah.
My noble general, Timon is dead, entombed upon the very hem of the seas, and on his gravestone this in sculpture, which with wax I brought away, whose soft impression interprets for my poor ignorance.
Alcibiades reads the epitaph.
Here lies a wretched corse of wretched soul bereft. Seek not my name. A plague consume you wicked caitiffs left. Here lie I, Timon, who alive all living men did hate. Pass by and curse thy fill, but pass and stay not here thy gate. These well express in thee thy latter spirits, though thou abhorrest in us our human griefs. Scorn'st our brains flow, and those are droplets which from niggard nature fall. Yet rich conceit taught thee to make vast Neptune weep for aye on thy low grave, on faults forgiven. Dead is noble Timon, of whose memory hereafter more. Bring me into your city, and I will use the olive with my sword. Make war breed peace, make peace stint war, make each prescribed to other as each other's leech. Let our drums strike.
Excellent. Eric Jean, I think this is one of my favorite. It's Othello and Lear good. It just, in how different it is and how fascinating that is, that Alcibiades, the source text, reads out the tragedy of Timon, who's off, like, everything about from the beginning of this podcast to the end. It's just, it's great.
I don't know if it's Othello.
The one thing that it lacks is a good female character. Mm. That's the one thing I'll give it. Actually, our good friend, I think Nikki Lambros was mentioning, who's read some of the sonnets on this podcast, was mentioning that there's no girls in this play. Although, if you wanted to put a female character as one of them, it would be...
Yeah, there's no reason that some of the lords couldn't be ladies instead, or that Timon couldn't, you know, like the gender of the...
Well, they're the two prostitutes, right?
That's true.
You're not helping.
No, but it is true that the gender, the characters could be regendered without actually really changing anything in the story. It's men, because that's what would have been those, or who the lords and generals and senators would have been.
This play functions a lot like David Mamet play could, where you could interchange, because with a modern feminist perspective, you could make any of these characters female, which I appreciate. But the thing that I love about it is just how different it is, and that whole measure for measure does this as well, like the from the heights to the bottom, and what is it between.
I have a question about this play that maybe the rest of you can help me figure out. How is Timon going to save the city from Alcibiades?
That's what I was just thinking, the same question. I'm guessing
it's because they're friends, and they're hoping he can speak, like, that he could fill that Menenius role, right? Like, in Coriolanus, they send Menenius over to try to speak to Coriolanus and go, like, dude, don't do this. So I guess they're hoping to recruit him in a similar function, but the senators themselves are able to talk themselves out of it by saying, listen, you don't hate all of us. Those people who opposed you, who didn't want to, you know, no problem, we'll give them to you. You can exact your vengeance on them. Spare us, and everything is...
What's
but great... isn't Flavius more of them than Menenius Rule, though, isn't he? He's trying to talk sense into him.
Flavius him, is more like, what was Coriolanus's, he had a general. Titus, wasn't it?
No, Titus. It started with an L.
Laertes.
Lucius?
Oh, Lartius. Titus Lartius, you're right.
Titus Lartius.
So we're both right.
We're both right.
Yeah.
but it's right in that what is great is once he leaves, how all the fabrics, the senators no longer have names in the second half of the play, and they're looking for Titus, who hates their guts and throw a bunch of water and rocks in their face, to come and save them from a general who he openly despised in I4, although they don't know that. But I guess they knew that they were friends.
Well, he didn't despise. He didn't despise the individual. He was kind of like, you know what? You can't really. I hate all mankind, but I can. I'll use you as my instrument to teach Athens a lesson.
So there's that great irony of the senators thinking that they can get Timon to stop Alcibiades, who he's kind of goaded on to go and destroy all of.
To be fair, if they had convinced Timon to come, then they would have basically convinced Timon to become the old Timon. And he probably wouldn't have been like, you know, go screw yourself, Alcibiades.
How do you go back to the Shire when you have already destroyed the ring? Mm. That is the question. Yeah. But do we go back upon once?
I feel this play is a little less tight than Lear or Othello. And that's why I can't, not quite as good. But it does share something very interesting with Lear. Apamantus and the Fool disappear in Act 3. Mm.
Ooh,
Act 4. Mm-hmm. But, right, no real exit, just kind
of
written.
A lot of characters have no real exit. All of the senators.
Yeah, but he's kind of important. Like, at least the play sets him up as
more
like.
More important than Timon?
Well, no, but he sort of sets him up as like this in opposition to Timon, right? Yeah. Like, when the play starts,
he foreshadows kind of his downfall. Yeah.
Well, yeah, think he'll be the bad guy, right? Yeah. You think he'll be the bad guy, and he really isn't, but.
Or at least the one who has the last word, when Alcibiades, who really is only introduced, like you said, in Act 3, has the last word. It's fascinating.
But it's a play about the danger of faceless laws and unforgiving credit card debt policies.
Very good. And there you go, economic students. Looking at you, Jay Ovenden, in L.A. now.
Second J.
Zoe. Second J.
Second J.
It is like a political move, though, isn't it? We know, like, the banquet when he serves them rocks and water, right? Maybe that's his declaration. And he's like, you know what? I'm broke, and now, you know, I'm going to be an anarcho-primitivist, you know? I'm going to be, you know, Ted Kaczynski. I'm going to go off into the wild. So this is basically how I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be subsisting on water, rocks, and roots. And this is just a taste of that. You guys are welcome to join me.
No one's really welcome to join him.
No.
If you read some of the speeches in Act 4, you'll realize no one is welcome. It's the thing when, again...
It's a good play.
This play.
No.
It's one. It's probably in my top 5. Or maybe 4.
Ooh.
Yes.
Bold.
Bold indeed.
Maybe it's my favorite. Maybe just because when I saw it live, it was maybe the best play I've ever seen in my whole life.
So live.
That would impact.
The best play I've ever seen.
Wow.
Like, nothing has been better since.
Last word goes to Stephanie.
Last word goes to Stephanie. And
also because I didn't even notice that there was no women in it, because it's totally not gendered to me. Mm. It's all about the ideas. That's it.
It's a play about ideas.
I didn't even notice until someone brought it up. It's just like, it's totally the idea. Yeah, right. You can do with it whatever you want.
Getting back to this particular act, what I love that he did is he brought the poet, Shakespeare obviously was a poet, he brings him back into the play just to mock him.
Yeah.
Like, I was reading the lines, and we were laughing, rightfully so, because he's such a pathetic character. Oh, I'll think of something, this pathetic artist, can you buy me marmalade?
Well, it actually just made me think of writing grants.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like, I'll just tell them this is what my idea, they'll give me money. Like, he's basically just petitioning the Canadian government for a grant.
That's hedge funds, too, though. Isn't that J.P. Morgan Chase? We're projecting on what we will make.
Yeah. Yeah.
What destroyed the whole world, no?
Yeah. The performance will be in the future.
It'll be in the future. This is what we're going to have.
Yeah.
This is an incredibly important place
or
for
to,
you.
Or to hearken to Dumb and Dumber, you know, great Farley Brothers film. It's like the IOUs. You know? Yeah.
These are all good. This is an IOU. It's as good as money. They're IOUs. It's a great play. Thank you all for listening to All 5X. All of them can be found at barbrawl.com. Thank you to Jack Kornorska for the music that accompanies the Bar Brawl every week, and to Timmy Norton, who did the intro.
Yeah.
I don't think I've mentioned him before, but he does the intro.
I think you did mention him.
I did? Yeah. Okay. Great job. All of the Sonneteers, and welcome back, Zoe Baldwin. You're not here in person, but we did hear your voice.
Oh, and stay tuned for speeches.
A single tear just streaked down Eric's cheek.
I'm so lost without you.
Okay, now a single tear is streaking down all of our cheeks.
And a thank you to just the sonic environment of Dan's kitchen. Yes.
This is Bar Brawl Studio 1.
And Waco, who is in every podcast. That's
true. You don't see her, but you feel her fluffy face as she stares out the window for an exit that she does not actually want because
she's
freezing cold.
In her cave.
Yes.
Staring at
the painter and the poet outside. Yeah. We will be back with the speeches podcast. I hope all of you are enjoying your winter.
What's the next play?
And we will
think about it over the holidays, people.
Send us your input. Go to Indiegogo.com, donate to us. And just get in conversation with us. We appreciate all of you who we talk to on Twitter. We'll talk to you next time.
See you next time.
I've got a little girl, Maya, recorded saying see you next time.
Oh.
So now I can just end that.
So I'm no longer going to
say no, I'm going to do it.
And now the Bard Brawl presents Sonnet 53, as recorded in Vancouver by Maya Pankala, original sonneteer for the Bard Brawl.
What is your substance, whereof are you made, that millions of strange shadows on you tend? Since everyone hath everyone one shade, and you but one can every shadow lend. Describe Adonis and the counterfeit is poorly imitated after you. On Helen's cheek all art of beauty set, and you in Grecian tires are painted new. Speak of the spring and foison of the year. The one doth shadow of your beauty show, the other as your bounty doth appear, and you in every blessed shape we know. In all external grace you have some part, but you like none, none you for constant heart.